Welcome back to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today we're visiting a fire station in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to learn about firefighters. And we have a lot of great questions for the wonderful staff here. There are a lot of tools in here, and wow, that is quite an axe.
So what we call this is the irons. So it's two tools that we carry with us to every fire emergency. And what it is just like you described, we have an axe that we use for both if we need to chop down a door or cut something, essentially. It also has a flat side on the back that we can use as a hammer in case we needed to use it along with our other tool in order to pry open a door. This other kind of funky tool that we're looking at here is called a halligan. What it is essentially a big crowbar that we have a forked end that we can use to pry open doors, whether it be a car door, a house door, any kind of building we're going to. And then it also has a pry bar on the other side that's kind of an L shape that we can use for a tougher fit into a door, as well as a pick. So the pick is going to be used for hitting the tool into wood so we can kind of get a better bite into the wood, a bite into the door, so that we can pry open whatever needs to be pried open. We call these the keys to the city.
I would bet, because you could get into any building with these keys to the city. And I suppose you need this if a building is on fire. I suppose you can't just open the front door.
We do. So a lot of the fires we go to, it depends who called in the emergency, who called in the fire. Sometimes the homeowner or a neighbor is home that has keys and they can let us in, and we don't need to do any further damage to the home more than the fire already has. But sometimes they're not home. Maybe it's the middle of the night. Maybe they can't get to the door to let us in. This guarantees us entry into anywhere that we need to go so that we can perform the life-saving measures that we need to do.
Lots of other cool tools in here, like bolt cutters and bigger axes and a giant sledgehammer. You guys are really equipped. And I notice there's a lot of room for you to bring friends on your firefighting journey with you, or at least colleagues. How many people fit in your firefighting truck?
Sure. So on engine 3 and on every engine in the city, we have 4 firefighters. We have engine trucks that carry 4 firefighters. Our ladder trucks have 3 firefighters apiece. And then all of our rescue and medic units are our ambulances. They carry 2 each.
What would you call this particular truck?
So this truck would be one of our engine companies. It carries 4 firefighters to every emergency, whether it's fire or medical.
And this isn't one of the ones with a ladder on the roof.
This one does not have the ladder on the roof. That would be a ladder or a tower, or sometimes in other parts of the country, they're just called a truck.
We're learning about firefighters today on the Children's Hour. We're at Albuquerque Fire Rescue Station number 3, and we're here with a whole lot of the great team that's here. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Stick with us. That was Fire Truck, Fire Truck by Rockin' Robin and the Magical Tree. And we are currently looking at the back of a fire truck. And these things that look like handles, are they handles for people to hold on to?
So they are handles, not for, they are handles to hold on to. They're handles so that we can climb on top of the truck. You may have seen the old videos of the firefighters that ride on the back of the truck as they're riding to an emergency. Not anymore. Everyone has their own seat and seatbelt now. But what we can do is climb on top of a truck with those handles.
I've noticed around rural parts of our state, and I think in rural parts of the country, sometimes there's signs up that say, we need volunteers for the fire department. How is that? How is it that you can volunteer and be a firefighter in these smaller communities? Surely they're facing the same risks you're facing.
So actually, that's a really good question. The majority of firefighters across our country are actually volunteers. Albuquerque Fire Rescue is a paid fire department, so everybody that works for us, this is their career. But in a lot of these rural communities that don't have the funding to have a paid fire department, community members volunteer. And so states will generally provide training. So like in New Mexico, we have a state training academy. They can provide these rural communities with the training that they need. And then these are people, they could be teachers, doctors, farmers, truck drivers. They have the gear. And then when there's an emergency, they're alerted. I know different ways. I don't know if they still get alerted by pagers. That would make me sound really dated, but I think they probably do get paged out. And so they'll be, you know, working in their office and realize there's an emergency and they'll respond in their personal vehicle to the emergency.
Wow. So the majority of the United States firefighters are volunteers, you're saying?
Correct. Which is crazy to think about our profession, that people literally are volunteering to do this. That's how much people love the fire service, is that we have a lot of volunteers. It is very hard to start up a paid fire department, and a lot of areas are starting to actually see decline in interest in volunteer firefighting. So that's why you see those signs, is they're looking for people that can help. So it's kind of the volunteer side is kind of a dying interest. And so a lot of communities are trying to keep people interested in doing it.
Wow. Well, maybe somebody listening will think, it's time for me to volunteer.
Drive the fire truck, the firefighter knows. Anywhere they're needed is exactly where they go. The lights are all a-flashing, the sirens in the air. Driving street to street, just got to get there. First street, second street, third street, fourth street, fifth street, sixth street, seventh street.
Fire.
That was the learning station right here on the Children's Hour, where we're learning about firefighters. You can learn a lot more by going to childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Firefighters. Our kids crew member, Nico, wanted to do this show in part because he's been inspired by his uncle. Take a listen.
What made you want to be a firefighter?
As you know, I grew up with your father. We both ended up going to UNM. And then at some point, somebody recommended doing a career test, and it told me that I would enjoy being a firefighter. So I didn't really give it a whole lot of thought, which I probably should have. Don't take that as good advice, but I just decided to completely change my career path. The bachelor's program was a huge chunk of the first part of the preparation, and then after that was basically like a 5-month academy. If you join the fire department without a bachelor's degree, you're essentially limited to the bottom couple ranks, versus if you enter with a bachelor's degree or above, you can promote quite a bit further. It was pretty tough. There's multiple times where I decided I didn't want to do it anymore, but then my dad ended up convincing me to stick it out.
What are some of the special things that you do at your job?
I really enjoy just driving around and meeting different people. I try to interact with the community. I go meet with people in the train yards, and I meet with the lowrider people on Central. I just try to meet with my community and actually spend some time and get to meet them. The thing we were trained to do is where you're trained to go to, you know, grandma and grandpa that are having chest pain and shortness of breathing. That's what we're trained to go to, or like the kid on the soccer field who has anaphylaxis from a bee sting. But the other thing is like you meet people on their worst days when you're actually on calls. And what I try to do is make it better.
Can you give our listeners some tips for fire safety?
Well, I've been to hundreds, if not thousands of fires. A lot of them are kitchen fires. Do not leave flammable items like paper or olive oil and stuff like that on the stove or next to the stove or in the oven. We go to so many house fires that are completely destroyed because of like stove and oven fires. People leaving flammable stuff like clothes and papers next to portable heaters and stuff like that. And to a lot of people, it seems like common sense, but to some, it doesn't. And obviously candles, stuff like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's our kids crew member, Nico, talking with his uncle, Peter Jarmosevich, battalion chief at the Albuquerque Fire Rescue.
We need to talk about fire safety.
You ready for this? You ready for this?
Yeah, you heard me. I said fire safety.
Okay. Let's do this.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Ay.
Get down on the floor.
Ay.
Then move to the door.
Ay.
Stay calm and control.
Yay.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Ay.
Get down on the floor.
Ay.
Then move to the door.
Ay.
Stay calm and control.
Ay.
Stop, drop, and roll, move to the door.
Yeah.
Crawl on your way out on the floor.
Okay.
When the building's hot, then you need to drop.
Right.
Move to the exit and please don't stop. Don't play with matches or touch the stove.
Yep.
Find an adult if you're smelling smoke.
Yep.
If your house is on fire, call 911. Get out the house, but please don't run. When the fire's hot, then you need to drop.
Drop.
Get on the floor, don't let it stop.
Stop.
Move to the exit, get out the spot. If the fire's hot, then it's time to drop.
Drop.
Practice what you do at home. So if there's a fire, then you already know. You'll be prepared and know where to go. So you won't be scared, cause you're in control. And stop, drop, and roll.
Ay.
Get down on the floor.
Ay.
Then move to the door.
Ay.
Stay calm and control. You need to stop, drop, and roll.
Ay.
Get down on the floor.
Ay.
Then move to the door.
Ay.
Stay calm and control.
Ay.
That was Fire Safety by Nether Friends Blake Rules. Right here on the Children's Hour, we're learning about firefighters. You can learn a lot more in our learning guide, which is at childrenshour.org. Just look for firefighters. But in the meantime, we are at Fire Station number 3 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And this is the fire station that's right up the road from public radio station KUNM.
How do people who are not firefighters make sure they're prepared for a fire?
So we'll talk about two different types of preparedness. We'll talk about preparedness in your home, and then we'll talk a little bit about wildfire preparedness too, because I think that's really important in our state and across our country. So we'll start with what you can do in your home. So one of the most important things that you can do is make sure that you have working smoke detectors and carbon monoxide monitors in your home. A lot of communities will actually provide those for people that don't have them. We work with the Red Cross in Albuquerque to help people that don't have smoke detectors get them installed. So a lot of communities have programs like that. You can research what your community has, but that's the number one thing that is super important, because that's what alerts you to that fire. Or if you have carbon monoxide issues in your home, those alerts will go off and you can get out of your home to safety and call 911 in that case. Some other ways that you can be prepared in your home is knowing an exit plan to get out of your house if it does catch on fire. So that's something that kids can work with their parents on, is how would I get out of my bedroom, and where would I go if there was a fire in our house? Sleeping with your doors closed is also a really important fire preparedness for your house. A door will block a lot of the forward progress into a room. And so we always recommend that everyone in the household sleeps with their doors closed for fire safety.
You mean the bedroom door?
If you Google pictures of a fire with a bedroom door open versus a bedroom door closed, you can see the difference. Now, obviously, if the fire keeps burning, it can catch the door on fire. But having that door closed can stop the forward progress for a little while and keep everything safer in that bedroom.
That's amazing. Just a bedroom door. What else can we do to be prepared for fire in our house?
Those three things are probably the biggest, is the smoke detector, the exit plan, keeping your doors closed, and then just little things like cooking safety, having a fire extinguisher in your kitchen and your garage are two frequent areas that we see fires. Making sure that you don't leave food cooking on the stove when you leave, just little things like that. Being careful with candles. A lot of fires can be caused by an unintended candle. With wildfire preparedness, it's a little bit different. If you live in a more rural area, you want to be careful about, say, where you store your firewood. We don't recommend you store it right up against your house, which is where a lot of people store it. But we talk about defensible space around your home. And so people that live in more wooded areas, we recommend that you don't store things that are flammable really close to your house. So if you see, say, an area where a wildfire has burnt through a town, you might see homes that don't burn down in that wildfire. And a lot of times it's because that family has set up defensible space. So they might not have trees right up against their home. They might have the trees further away from their home. So that's a way to keep your home protected. And then just other basic things are, like, if you go camping, making sure that your campfire is extinguished all the way, not smoking. A big issue for us in Albuquerque is fireworks and illegal fireworks. So just being very careful with anything that could cause a fire.
That's the voice of Fire Chief Emily Jaramillo of the Albuquerque Fire Rescue. We're at station number 3 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We've got more with the firefighters. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund.